It's always good to come back. I love what I see here. People that are seeking after God. People that believe the Word of God. Actually believe it and live it. It's a beautiful thing. Well, my name's Elmer Peachy. I come from Belleville, Pennsylvania, a little small community of Amish. It's boxed in kind of with mountains. There's like 7 miles wide at the widest place, maybe 30 miles long. A lot of Amish people there, old order, very strict. And that's where I come from. Grew up as a little boy. I still remember sitting on my mother's lap at 4 years old. And there was a baptism going on, and I was just crying. I don't know exactly why, but I knew something was going on between those young people and God, and it touched my heart. And then also, at the age of about 7 or 8, probably 8 years old, I was out in the field with the horses, and I was rolling the ground after it had been plowed. And I was so fearful of hell, because it seemed like that's about all they would ever preach about. And it was to control the people and to keep them in one place. And so one day when I was out there in the field, I just stopped. I got off of my machine and I knelt down. And I cried out to the Lord, and I told him, I said, I'm a young man. I don't know what my life's going to hold. I said, please, don't just let me die and go to hell. I said, do whatever you need to bring me back to yourself. That's it. I never said amen, but the Lord heard my prayer, and lo and behold, He took me a long ways around. I didn't have a good relationship with my pop, my dad. It was hard to communicate with him, but I had the sweetest mother God could have ever given me. She was a beautiful person. And if it wouldn't have been for her and my dad, but my mom, I was very close to my mother. And she prayed for me a lot. I know she did. She loved me. And she never criticized me when I was out in the world. I left. I was pretty close to the Lord. I read a lot of Bible stories when I was very young. But then when I got to the youth, everything went out the window. And I fell into sin. I was seduced by a young lady. That was awful. It's not funny. And it took me way out. In my youth, I always had a desire to go beyond the big valley. And I did. I ended up going with a friend of mine out to California. We were just going to do a short trip. Well, let me back up a little bit. After I fell into sin and got in trouble, that my parents thought it would be good to move me to another community and live that way, another Amish community. It was in Lancaster. That was not a good idea because those young people that I ended up with, were really wild. We drank, had cars, bands, music. And I ended up going out west with a young man just for a trip. And I didn't come back. I never came back. I can't even imagine treating my parents quite like that. I don't know where that came from, but I left and I didn't come back for 4 years. And I came back one time, and Mom, she, you know, it was just, we did write and interact. And Mom always loved me. She never criticized me for anything. It's a beautiful thing. She prayed for me. She loved me. And she cared deeply for me. And also I had a longing, I don't know, this is only the Amish, but I had a longing to drive semi. I mean, that was something that I always dreamed of as a little child. And I wish somebody would have came and sat me down. You know, they could have sat me down and said, "Hey, Elmer, come on, look at this. Look at where this is going to take you." Surely somebody would have known, but nobody did. So I pursued it because it was a dream, and I was good at it. I loved to serve. I learned to serve. And through that, another thing I wanted that job is because I didn't have to deal with people. I had a lot of guilt and shame that I never got rid of. I didn't know how to get rid of it. We didn't read the scriptures. And if we did, they were in German. And I didn't understand it. But so that's one reason I wanted to stay with the truck. Just be by myself a lot. Not have to answer to anybody, not have to deal with people. But then there came a time when I desired to have a family and to marry. And I found a beautiful young lady, and we got married. I mean, it was good. God is good. And even if I am at a wrong place, God has directed me, has taken my life, and He has pulled me in the direction of Him, Himself. So anyhow, we were married for about 11 years, and it was very rocky. It was very difficult, very, very hard. And I was determined, by the grace of God, I started seeking after God. We'd gotten the Bible for a wedding present. It wasn't being used. So I opened it. I began to use it. We didn't have all these Bible helps and all of that. And I just cried out to God to just help me. And I remember one day, you know, we've tried everything. I wanted to get off the road because I saw this wasn't good. So we moved to another community, and then our first little baby died. It was in Colorado, so we moved back, and it was just, I just came to the point where I said, I'm sick of life. I'm so sick of life, God. If you don't help me, we're going to die. And that's when the Lord opened His arms. I remember one Sunday morning, I came home from the truck. I was watching Jimmy Swaggart on television. That day was the end. I said, "Lord, if you don't show me how to live, I'm going to die. My whole family, everything. I don't know where else to go." So He showed me, and I said, "You know, I feel it would be better if you just let me go to hell right now, because I've sinned against a holy, 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 holy God." And it was so real to me that morning. But He also showed me something else. He said, "I died for you. You don't have to go. If you trust me with all your heart, mind, and soul, and give your life, I will take you places." And He did. That was an awesome day. But then when I got converted, my wife didn't see it that way, and that's when she filed for divorce. So that was quite pretty hard to take, but I trusted the Lord. I trusted the Lord with all my understanding. I gave it all to Him. I'm going to go all with Him or not at all. But I saw Him, who He was, a little bit. And I pressed towards the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And He showed me how to live. I opened the Scriptures. I didn't read the Scriptures before. I didn't know what they meant. I tried to read the Scriptures at times, but it never really meant anything to me until I got born again. Till I got born again, I started in Matthew 5. And wow, were my eyes open. Amazing. I was reading verse 6. It said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be healed." That's kind of what I saw, that word "shall." I knew I was going to get filled with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. I knew it. So I kept pressing on. And then I read some really hard stuff. I thought it was really hard, and it still is to some people. But Matthew 10, verse 34 through 39. "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. I am come to set a man at variance against his father, against his daughter, against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter is not worthy of me." And I'm like, whoa, what are you talking about? "And he that taketh not his life, he that taketh not his he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." Wow. What are you saying, Lord? It's so different from what everybody else was saying. Everybody. I mean, I remember asking counsel from my ministers. I was with the Little Church of Christ. And they suggested that I find somebody else. While my wife is living? It didn't make sense. But so I listened to the Holy Spirit. I asked God one day, I said, "You show me." I said, "Everybody's telling me this and that and so on and so forth. I want to hear from you." And He said, "Carlos is your wife until death parts you." And that was settled it forever. And I'm glad He did. That's how I begin to learn from the Word of God. At the time we had 2 children. And I'm like, wow. Wow, Lord. Show me. And He did. He did. I didn't get overwhelmed. I remember one time there was a story that I read as a little child where Abraham and Lot came up out of Egypt. Abraham wasn't even supposed to take Lot with him. That's another story. That you can make a sermon out of that, because God did not call Abraham to take Lot. He called Abraham out to Canaan and to leave his kindred behind, everybody. And I didn't see that for a long time, but then it was revealed to me that Lot should have never went with him. But now that Lot is with him, now there's quarreling in the family, and God said, "No." Abraham said, "We got to separate. What do you want? You want the beautiful watered land or the desert? Well, of course, young Lot wanted the beautiful land. So he said, okay, go for it. And Abraham stayed back and he built an altar to God. And Lot became a caveman at the end of his life. Wow. I said, I want to be like Abraham. Someday I want to be like Abraham. I told the Lord that. I thought it was such an awesome story. So when we're going through this difficulty in our relationship, two little children, whew, Lord, he said, you still want to be like Abraham? Yeah, I said, I do. I trust you. So he said, then don't fight. Don't fight with your wife. Let it go. Everything. Let her have it. We had two houses at the time. We were rich. I worked like I did a lot of things wrong. Yeah, I was not a good husband. I was a very wicked and a very vile husband. And the Lord told me to let everything go. Just let it go. So I let her have everything. And she wanted the children. So I let her have the children. I looked at Abraham. That's what he did. And I started to worship the Lord. I started to pray and fast and trusted the Lord. It says that we're not to lean into our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him and he will direct our path. He has directed my path. My wife is in her own little prison right now, but God is going to bring her out. He can do anything. Yeah, I know people say it's a lot of her will. God won't go against her will. But you know, one time he brought the children of Israel out with a bunch of hornets so that he could bring them back. Was he against their will? No, they could have stayed there and got stung, whatever. And another one is Paul. When Paul was going to Damascus, I mean, this guy was going places. He was going to, people were scared of him. They were afraid of him. And he was going to go bring these people that were that way back to prison, and he killed a number of people. I don't know how much. But anyhow, on the way to Damascus, the Lord knocked him on the ground. Did Paul have a will? Yeah. The Lord was so convincing that Paul, as hard as he was, he changed his mind. And that's what I'm expecting God to do. God is no respecter of persons. He loves us all. We're all his. And I'm asking for God to do that, and I believe he will one day. I don't know when, but I also thank God for the time that we've been separated. It's been 38 years, and it's awesome because God is leading me. He's directing me. I've learned so many things since I've been alone these years that I would have never learned otherwise. God is good. So, and one thing I'm really learned a lot on, I believe, is marriage. Marriage is an awesome thing to behold. God brings two people together and he makes them one flesh. That's what he says. I don't understand it. I don't, but I believe it. And also when we make our vows to God, it is better that we would never make vows than to make a vow and not keep it. This is what God says about somebody that doesn't keep their vows. It's in Ecclesiastes 5, verse 4 through 7. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to keep, pay it. For he hath no pleasure in fools. He'll call you a fool. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angels that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at the voice of and destroy the work of your hands? Who even destroy the work of your hands? For in the multitude, that's where I am. But yeah, very serious to keep a vow. You make a vow, you need to keep it. It has to be. God will hold you accountable. So I learned that, you know, even before I knew a lot of this stuff. But God has been teaching me many, many beautiful things. And when my wife and I were separated for, you know, a number of years, she ended up marrying this Harley Davidson drug addict. And they had a little girl named Caitlin. I was so hurt. I mean, I was like, wow. But I gave it to the Lord. I trusted the Lord. I had no idea what was going to come. I remember when we didn't have cell phones at that time, so we had to use a payphone. And I called my wife one Sunday evening, and she told me she's pregnant and was laughing at me. Wow. So I gave it to the Lord. I didn't know how this was all going to turn out. I figured for sure, now we're never getting back together, but we're still not together. But I'm waiting. I'm trusting the Lord. So anyhow, this little baby grows, and I invite my wife to come and see the other two children that I had. And here she had this little child with her. I paid for a round-trip ticket. She wouldn't come otherwise. So anyhow, she comes and visits us. And here's this little baby. And I got angry. I'm sitting in my reclining chair, and this little girl's just crawling up to me, and I'm like, how dare this be? And all of a sudden, I felt something on this shoulder. It was like God was touching my shoulder. And he said, Elmer, won't you take care of my little girl for me? And I said, yes, Lord, I will. And I adopted her. When she was 4 years old, she came to live with me, with the other two children. Caitlin, Christina, and Aaron. They were just little. I used to carry my little children in the church, one in each arm. Now we have 9 grandchildren. God is so awesome. If we just trust him and wait on him. But there's a lot of things that happen in between, hard lessons, very difficult. But it's in James 1, I think it says something about trials, difficult. Is it James 1? Yeah, I'm not sure. I have to get my... I never could understand this. It's just never made any sense to me. Yeah, James 1, I think it is. Okay, first one is that I'm looking at. Brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience, and let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If ye lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. So I believe that. You just believe. You trust him for it. And somehow, some way, I can't explain it, but sometimes it just, after a while you see it. Blessed is a man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him.
Wow.
Let no man say that he was tempted. I am tempted of the Lord, because God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. You can't blame the Lord. It's you. You make the decisions. So anyhow, I just kept pressing on. My children, you know, I had little Caitlin, 4 years old. I worked hard. And somehow the Lord has given me grace to bring those children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I remember we had summer Bible school, and I took the little children there for the first time, the little Bible school. I was just so delighted how God has brought me back to the community, kind of where I grew up in Christ, you know, godly people, had a godly school. They all went through, my son went through 12th grade, and it was good. We had a lot of fun. I grew up with the children. I really did. It was amazing. I was kind of like a mother and a father. It was amazing. It was great. Now looking back, I'm like, hitherto the Lord has helped me. He really has. And I just, I'm so delighted in when I see people walking with the Lord. Going back to the Word of God is very serious. Otherwise, you have a lot of confusion, a lot of things that will sway men. I want God to say this of me, like he did Abraham. He never staggered at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what God said about Abraham. That's what I want. I want him to say that about me. That would really be good to have that. So anyhow, I grew up with the children. And, this is what I wanted to say. My son was the oldest, Aaron. He graduated from a school, godly school. And my daughter Christina was that close to getting converted. And somehow mom persuaded her to leave. She was almost to graduate from high school. Now that was hard. What I went through before was nothing, but now this. And she drew both of my daughters away from me into the world. They're godly attire changed overnight. Am I still going to trust the Lord?
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife sent them to college. All I could do is pray that they would find something that was worthwhile. Something. No, I wouldn't promote college, but there are some good things that they can do. Nursing, my daughter took speech pathology. She can, that was good. So instead of fighting it, I would go out and visit them at the colleges. We'd go out for lunch, whatever, dinner. I'd hang out there for the day, just spend the day with them, rather than getting all upset, angry, frustrated. because that really doesn't help anything. I looked at the life of Jesus and how that he never complained about anything. And he is our example, is he not? Yes, you can make him your example or you can do your own thing. I choose to make him my example. So, yeah, I had to learn a lot of things. But just watching him. You know, there was a time when Jesus was before Pilate and they were crying, crucify him. And well, what am I supposed to do with Barabbas? Let him go free. Jesus at that moment, that was probably a very disgusting moment, but I'm not sure how he took it, but he could have said, okay, people, I've had it. This is it. I came to save you and give you the good news, and all you want to do is kill me and let a criminal go free. But he didn't. He didn't. He stayed. He endured the cross, despising the shame. I can't quite quote it. But anyhow, he did not. He saw a joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding on our behalf. The joy that he saw right before his eyes was the fact that if he would go through with this, the whole plan of salvation, we would have life. But if he stopped and went back, we would lose. But he did it for all of us. 8 billion people. I don't know how many people are on the earth, but there's a lot. And he came for every single one of them. It's very personal. Very personal. So, yeah, there was a lot. There's a lot more in my story, but I want the name of Jesus to be glorified. From an absolute rebel, hard-headed rebel, to changing my whole plan, my whole point of view. It's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. When I got converted, the Lord showed me a lot of things that I didn't know before. Now I need to work them out with fear and trembling. I still love my wife. I pray for my wife every day. She's a constant. She's right there. And I ask the Lord, how am I supposed to love a woman that just is on the opposite end? He said, remember when I was on the cross, I looked down at these people and I said, Father, would you forgive them? For they don't know what they're doing. They really don't understand what they're doing. And that's how I can love my wife. She doesn't really understand. So I feel for her and I pray for her. Doesn't matter if I have contact with her or not. I don't remember the negative things. I remember the good things that we had. Because it's not about me. Jesus Christ, when he came, he had others in mind. He thought more of others than he did himself. Otherwise, he would have never came. And that's the life that I want to live. Live for the good of others. Pray for people. I asked God for one gift when I got converted. I was looking in Corinthians somewhere, and it talks about the gifts. And there was one of them down and almost at the bottom. The gift of helps. I said, I want that one. I'd like to have that one. So I love to serve. I love to serve. You want me to do something for you? If I can do it, I'll do it. And then a few years ago, I asked for another one. It's almost the same. Not quite. But it's a gift of healing. The gift of healing. When people are hurting, I can come along with the scripture, not my own words, but with the scripture, and break it down and help people to to actually look up and have some hope. Have a smile. Trust in the Lord. On my way out here, I repented of this, but I stopped in a rest area to take a little nap, and I woke up kind of dreary, and there was a man sitting on the sidewalk just a little ways from me. He had a dog and a big package on his, you know, and I didn't want to be bothered with him. I said, I'm not taking the dog in my car in the first place. So I drove around and parked down here. I was going to take another nap. I don't even know why. And before I could even look up, this man is coming, running, and he's crying, literally. He said, I need help. Can you help me? He said, I saw your car. He felt safe to come and talk to me. He said, I was going to put a bullet in my head. I'm not sure how serious he was, but I mean, this man was at the end of himself. So I said, you go up there to that little picnic table. I'll come up there a little bit. So I got my Bible and I went up there. And he just poured his heart out. Hour and a half. Just everything. We looked at the scriptures, we prayed, we cried together, we hugged each other. He asked me if I'd take him into town, a couple miles up the road. Sure. Didn't even think of the dog anymore. I said, go. It's okay. It's okay. So I took him up to town and dropped him off. His whole countenance had changed. He said his wife had left him, and their old car that they had, it's all broken up, broke down most of the time, and she took the keys and threw them in the river and hitchhiked out of there. And I said, okay, let's go into this a little deeper here. How was your wedding? What for wedding ceremony did you have? Well, he said, we just agreed that we're married. And, well, I said, that's probably one of the reasons things aren't working very well for you. I said, you need to separate. You need to separate yourself. That's not godly. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord says, I will not hear you. Either that's true or it's not true. So I shared a lot of things with him. And his whole countenance was changed. And I'm like, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. Thank you. There's many things along the way. But I turned 70 here in May. And I said, I want to serve the Lord with all of my heart, with all the days of my life. I used to, when I was 60, you know, I wanted to serve the Lord and provide whatever. When I turned 70, I said, you provide, you show me where to go. It's up to you. That's how I want to live. And I just share another little thing. When I was thinking of retirement, Lord, where do you want me to go? How do you want me to do this? How do you do this? I don't know. I never did this before. I always worked. So I said, what would you have me to do? And one day it came across my mind, however, I said, why don't you go out and help Delbert Screwbar in Oregon? I said, what? Okay. So I let it go, and the next day it became even stronger. And about 6 o'clock in the evening, the phone rings, and it's Delbert Screwbar. He hadn't called me for years. I answered the phone. I said, I'm coming. You don't even have to ask, because I knew what he wanted. So now I'm here. So that's how I want to live. I want to acknowledge the Lord in all my ways. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Is that a promise? Yes, it is a promise. So he'll direct my path. That's my life. I want to live that way. I want to encourage everybody to trust in the Lord. I know there's a lot of young people here. There's, you know, they're young married, and things may not always go the way you thought it should. But it's okay. God wants to teach you things. It's not my way. It's his way. It's a blessed way. Trials and difficulties and hardship, don't run from them. Learn. Don't point fingers. Well, if he wouldn't have did this, this wouldn't have happened, that and that. Oh, my. You get nowhere. You get nowhere pointing the finger. But another thing I've learned is to thank God for hardships, difficulties. Now, that's that. Yeah. But it says so. It teaches us to do that. So when you find yourself in a very difficult place, just start praising God. Thank you, Lord. I don't understand, but I know you're in it. You're with us. You're for us. I'm going to trust you with all of my heart and not lean into my own understanding, but in all my ways. I want to acknowledge you because you're going to direct my path. So anyhow, it's about time to close, but I hope this was upbuilding. I just want to lift the name of Jesus. The Lord is to be praised from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. And he's holy, holy. Let's not forget. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. What does that look like? Should cause us to tremble, but he loves us. So anyhow, God bless you. Father, that we come in the name of Jesus, I just thank you for this beautiful congregation. Lord, I pray that you would direct them to the praise of your glory all the days of their lives, and that many people would be touched by their lives, be touched by your life through them. Lord, there's many, many homeless. There's many people that don't know you. And I pray for the sign and the tape and the CD ministry, whatever it is, Lord. Whatever, however you want to do this, I pray that you would bless Roger and his family and the church as they take part in this, Lord, in this work. Thank you again for your word. You're holy, holy, holy God. We love you, we worship you, we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.